A couple of weeks ago, we joined up with Africa Check. Kate Wilkinson was our guest, where we were looking at three. We started with three, and we're going to do three again today. Just these popular statements, statements that are bandied about and that we share as a matter of fact, without really digging further to see whether or not this is fact or not. And we're quick to throw them around, and we use them to as we drive different narratives. They even reported on, and it gets even more important when actual officials public office bearers or people in high positions start to use them as a matter of fact. But is it really a matter of fact? So we'll take your questions on the three that we'll be discussing today, but also feel free to email me azania@702.co.za if there is a particular statement that you want Africa Check to dig in a little bit more to find out what the basis is and how it became as popular as it has. Last time we did the question of what 80%, the statement 80% of South Africans consult traditional healers, and it was interesting to see how that originated, how it came about, and of course whether there's evidence to back it up. Kate, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We've got three brilliant ones again.
We do.
We'll take even more suggestions from our listeners as they get emailing. So let's start with the first one. Before we even get there, I must say, reflect on last week, Nechama Brody, who is the head of TriFacts.
Yeah, so Nechama heads up our training and business wing of Africa Check. So that's where we provide, you know, in newsroom training for journalists to become better fact checkers, and also just training on how to verify information, how to make sure you're sharing accurate information and getting the facts right.
Absolutely. And it became interesting, you know, we look to Google and we think a lot of the things we're going to find on Google are actually factually correct, but you find that it's not the oracle, it is the input is from individuals, so you are likely to find a lot of error there as well. So we have to question the kind of material we're interacting with. Is it misinformation? Is it ill information? Is it, you know, is it true? Is it false? What is the basis? Where does it come from? So would you say as well, as Africa Check, that it's important we have this critical questioning of information we interact with?
Absolutely. And part of Africa Check's mandate is we are not here. We can't fact check everything. We can't be there for every statement. We can't be, you know, working 24 hours a day to make sure that everything that everyone says is correct. We do what we can, and we try to correct really important facts that we think, you know, or claims which aren't right. But more importantly is that we hope that we teach people how to think about things that they hear, and how to question, and what questions to ask, and where to find information that they can use to verify the things that they hear. So it's a two-prong approach, and you know, people can also do the work that we do.
Yeah. So let's start with the first one. Do only 14% of South Africans read books? We always hear about the low reading culture in South Africa, and it's something that we always feel that needs to improve. We need to do far better than that. We need to become a reading nation.
And this is a stat that we've seen over the last couple of years. You know, it pops up every time there's a headline about literacy or being a reading nation. It's always, you know, put, you know, in headlines. It's in speeches. It's in press releases. And our Minister of Basic Education has actually been one to push the stat quite a few times. And Minister Mosheka sometimes has said, you know, only 14% of South African reads. Sometimes she's put it at 15%. And we actually looked at the stat and we got in touch with their office. And because like we always do, we always ask people how they came to this conclusion, because, you know, people have the information and they can tell you. And when we got in touch with her office, interestingly, we were told that it came from a study the study which looks at reading literacy. But the interesting part is that it was only for grade fours.
Oh.
And the even more interesting part is that in South Africa, they have to administer the test to grade five students, because our grade four students can't actually do the level of test which is administered. So we straight away knew, we looked at this, we knew this definitely can't be used to say anything about the country as a whole and, you know, exactly what percentage of South Africans are reading. So from there, we went to look for other studies to see if there was anything out there. And it's quite tricky because, you know, studies and research into reading is quite limited in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Stats SA did do a time use survey, but it didn't really look specifically at reading and it wasn't very detailed. But luckily, just last year, there was a study done by the SA Book Development Council. Mm-hmm. And they did one in 2006, and in 2016, they did the second one. And that gave us really good data, and we were really excited to be able to get a current look at the situation.
Good. So how many of us are reading now that we know that 14% of South Africans read is just bollocks?
Yeah, so the first thing they did was they tried to figure out what percentage of South Africans have ever read for leisure, ever in their life. And what the survey found, they interviewed 4,000 people over the age of 16, mm-hmm. and they found that 70% of adults reported that they had ever read for leisure. From there, we can see that for adult South Africans, reading is the fifth most popular leisure time activity. So definitely after what you would imagine would be on that list. So you're looking at things like listening to the radio.
Watching TV.
Yeah, which is the most popular. Mm. Watching TV, shopping or going to the mall, and then socializing at home.
Oh, wow. Listening to the radio came out tops. I know radio has incredible reach across this country. So it's a leisure activity.
And then they then said, okay, we know 70% of South Africans have ever read, but you know what percentage are actually reading and it's part of their life? Mm-hmm. And what they found was that it was 25% of South Africans. So it's still quite low.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, if you think what percentage would you want to be reading, you're probably going to pitch it a bit higher. Mm-hmm. But that was really just the beginning of quite interesting data. Mm-hmm. You know, they also mentioned that 14% of South Africans are committed print book readers. So these are what, you know, we refer to as bookworms, people who always have a book in their hand, in their bag. Any opportunity they get, they're going to be reading, and they protect that habit from other more, you know, tempting leisure habits.
Mm-hmm. So 14%. So the book industry, publishers, authors, of course, you'd want to get new readers in. That's the point of any marketing exercise. You want to reach the people that you can reach, but also the people that haven't been reached in the past. 14%.
Are really devouring books in our society.
Yes, yes.
And then what I thought was actually the most staggering results of this research is they actually asked questions about books in the household, because it's very easy to say that people should be reading and we want a reading nation.
Yeah.
But, you know, how many people actually have books at home? And this was the stat that sort of took me back when I saw it. And what it found was that just over 16 million adults in South Africa, so that's 58%, reported living in households with no books.
Sure.
And, you know,
so this is the adult population.
Yes.
16% of the adult population.
So 16 million adults. So that's
16 million adults. 58%. Uh-huh.
58% of adults in South Africa live in households where there are no books. Mm. And, you know, with that statistic, you can start to understand why the people who are reading, you know, that percentage might be a bit low.
Yes.
A remaining 42% of people lived in households with more than one book. But just 7% of adults in South Africa lived in a household with more than 10 books.
Sure. So how do we then answer this question about the reading levels in South Africa now that 14%
is out the window.
Out the window completely.
So, you know, this claim that only 14 or 15% of South Africans read books, it's not supported by available data. And the most recent research we have, which is from 2016, puts the figure at 25%. So it's still quite low, but it's not as dire as, you know, the minister made it out.
Yes, right. So did you, after fact-checking, after getting to the bottom of it, did you send them information?
Yeah, so what we do in all cases is there are numerous contact points when we're doing a fact-check. Like I said, we always get in touch. We ask people for the evidence because we give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
We always assume the person is right and that they have the evidence to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we've done our research, we get back in touch with them and we say, hi, you know, this is the claim we looked at. This is what we found. You know, either we'll say, you are right, we're going to publish a report saying that, or we say, you weren't right, and you know, this is why. And do you want to give comment on this? Do you want to explain something?
Yes.
We're going to be publishing this report. And we did send this to the minister and her team, but unfortunately, we didn't receive a response. But we haven't seen the number used since.
Okay.
So maybe.
Yes. The next time she speaks on it, September was Literacy Month. Mm. I also didn't see anything there. But the next time, of course, the relevant authorities speak on that, it'll be interesting to see which figures they reflect. It's easy for these sorts sorts of things to become something else. As you said, this 14% was based on looking at grade fours, and it was from a particular study. But then it's easy for it to become 14% of South Africans. You know, how do we get from the 14% of grade fours to 14% South Africans? This process in between. Misinformation.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I think it's a little bit of like, you know, number creep. You have a stat and you know something about a small part of the population, and then suddenly you're grabbing it to use it for the total country or a different part of the country. And it's always important. You need to go back to your source. You need to check what are the parameters of the statistic, and what do they really tell us?
Get on to the second one. If you have any questions for Kate about the reading levels in South Africa, I think you gave a beautiful breakdown, you know, clarified all of this misinformation about reading levels in this country. You can give us a call, 011-883-0702. But for now, let's move on to the second popular statement or phrase or claim. The private healthcare sector, I've looked at this as well, especially when conversations about the NHI, when that comes up, about the private healthcare sector looking at itself. There was a conference as well with medical aid, with different medical aid funders, and this notion that only 16% that it only serves 16% of the population. Is it true?
So, yeah, like you said, this was a claim that we picked up actually in relation to when the Minister of Health, Aaron Motsoaledi, announced the gazetting of South Africa's National Health Insurance White Paper. And as part of his presentation, this frequently repeated claim was actually a slide. And on the slide it said, you know, the private sector, private healthcare sector, only provides care to 16% of the population. And this was part of a discussion about how South Africa is an outlier in, you know, healthcare spend, because the private sector is investing a lot of money and resources into a small sector of the population. So we got in touch with the minister's spokesman, and we asked for the source of this claim. And this is interesting because, like we spoke about earlier, that number creep, where a number is right for one thing, but as soon as you start using for other things, it's not quite right anymore. And we see the same thing here. We see that this statistic actually refers to the percentage of people who are on medical aid. So right off the bat, we knew from, you know, the response from the minister that this, there was something a bit off with the statistic, because they told us, oh, no, it actually refers to the percentage of South Africans in medical aid. And they told us that they had got the statistic from the Council for Medical Schemes. So we got in touch with them, and that was right. In 2015-16, in their annual report, it noted that only 16% of the South African population belongs to a medical scheme, while the rest of the population depends on an overburdened government sector. And the council's general manager told us that in 2015, 8.8 million South Africans were part of medical schemes, and that over the years, the percentage of South Africans on medical schemes had sort of bounced between 16 and 17%. And that's in line with what we see from another source. If you look at Stats SA from their general household survey, you're also going to see in 2016 they put it at 17.4%. So we've got a rough idea of the percentage of people on medical aid.
So does it then become about the phrasing? Only provides care for 16%.
So what we then did was we got in touch with experts, because in order to fact check something, you have lots of different tools at your disposal. You have data, and you have research and annual reports and hard numbers and, you know, research, and you look at that. But often it's very important to get context, and people provide context. Experts who work in these industries can talk you through the ins and outs. And we spoke to a number of experts, and what they said is that in South Africa, it's very important to realize that people use different sectors to meet their healthcare needs. And people are using a combination of private healthcare and public healthcare, depending on, you know, what illnesses they're facing, what challenges they need to overcome. And an interesting example of this is actually from Statistics South Africa in 2016. They showed that, you know, there were of an estimated 1.5 million households with no medical aid, they were normally using the private healthcare system. So you have people who don't have medical aid who normally use private healthcare. And then you have around 700,000 households where at least one person has medical aid, but they normally use the public healthcare. system. Mm-hmm. And in total, around 4.7 million households in South Africa said that their normal place of consultation when they were ill was the private healthcare system.
7.4%.
No, so 4.7 million.
4.7.
So if we want to, put it into percentage terms, we spoke to Stats to say you have to make a few sort of assumptions.
Right.
But they said that the best guess that they have is that around 24% of South Africa's population normally uses the private health.
24%.
Yeah. So that's 16. Of course, that's just one study. You'll often find on an issue there are lots of different studies that come up with lots of different estimates.
Mm.
So we then went and looked at another study called the National Income Dynamics Study, and their estimate was that it was 41.5% of respondents who went to see a private healthcare practitioner in their last visit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's now we've got a high estimate. And then we looked at a 2010 discussion paper, and their estimate was up to 32% of South Africans were, you know, making use of the private healthcare system.
Mm. So what does that do to the figures no longer 16, especially in terms of the numbers of people that are provided for by the healthcare, by private healthcare sector, because it's broader now?
Yeah.
So much broader.
Absolutely. So what we can say is this claim, which was in the Minister of Health's presentation, that only 16% of South Africans are using the private healthcare system, there's problems with that number, because we know that's actually just the percent of people who have medical aid.
Absolutely.
But we know from these studies that having medical aid isn't what makes you go to private healthcare. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't have medical aid who are using private healthcare, and there are people who have medical aid that are using the public sector.
Absolutely, and there's a mix for some as well. So there you have two big issues that we often hear about, these figures that have become the norm, or phrases and statements and claims that have become the norm, but is there any truth to them? We're taking a break, and afterwards we'll be looking at the murder rate, right? Does Gauteng have the highest murder rate? Is it true or not?
There are those who only go to an opening for the food. But then there are those who want to be part of something new and exclusive. Joburg City's new Ford dealership, opening 6 November 2017, is the first of its kind in South Africa, offering the whole range of Ford's service excellence, after-sales care, the latest technology, and so much more. This is one opening you don't want to miss. Joburg City Ford, 6 November 2017, 93 Carr Street, Newtown, Johannesburg.
So, how did the investor meeting go?
Ah, tough. Luckily, I had QuickBooks with me.
QuickBooks?
Yes. My accounting software that helps manage my business finances. It was so easy to show them cash flow, expenses, business projections, and that I was really on top of my numbers. So I got more funding.
Time to celebrate.
Get QuickBooks Online today and make easy accounting a part of your business success. Visit quickbooks.intuit.com/ZA or call 010-203-4300.
If you don't live for money... you don't live for money. Not that if you don't, but you don't live for money. But money gets you what you live for. This week on 702, we're talking about the new Nedbank Money app. Reduce or bump up your ATM withdrawal limit on the app. And if your card is lost or stolen, simply block it and reorder a new one immediately. Nedbank will even deliver it to you. Download the new Nedbank Money app today. It's easy to enroll. Nedbank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply. See money differently. Nedbank.
SMS Azania on 31702.
We're seeing so many interesting comments and questions for my guest, Kate Wilkinson from Africa Check. We've been with Kate talking previously about common claims that we hear about in the media from members of public office bearers. But is there truth to some of these claims? Already she's broken down two. We've got one more to go. And it has to do with the murder rate, Kate. Mm. Does Gauteng have the highest murder rates? The crime stats were released recently, and Gauteng was at the top with 4,101 murders.
Yeah, definitely. So, like you said, you know, 2 weeks ago, we saw the Minister of Police release the stats in Parliament, and we released a fact sheet which breaks down the stats. And then later in the week, we saw a report online with a very big headline that said, Gauteng, the province with the highest murder rate in SA. And we had a look at this, and there were a few problems with this claim.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, there were definitely the most numbers of murders recorded in Gauteng. You know, 4,101 people were killed in the province.
Right.
But we have to remember that Gauteng is also South Africa's most populous province. Mm. At last count, you know, we had almost 14 million people calling it home. And you, if you want to talk about a murder rate, what a murder rate is it's a way to assess risk proportionately. And we, in order to do that, you take into account the number of crimes which have been committed, in this case murder, and the number of people or potential victims in an area. And there's a little math formula that you can see on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you then get a number out of 100,000. So you'll say that X people were killed out of the every 100,000 in the province.
Yes, that lived there.
Yeah. And when you calculate Gauteng's murder rate, what you see is that it was 29.3. So we can say that, you know, almost 30 people were murdered for every 100,000 in the province.
Okay.
But if we go to the Eastern Cape, we see that the province has nearly half the size of our population, you know, around 6.5 million people, but they recorded 3,628 murders. So less than Gauteng, but not by much.
Yes.
But when you take into account the proportional risk, you'll see that Gauteng had 29.3 murders per 100,000. In the Eastern Cape, 55.9 murders per 100,000. And that's because there's so few people.
Yes.
So if you're thinking about who's at more risk, someone living in the Eastern Cape or living in Gauteng,
mm-hmm.
if you're looking at the murder rate, you're more likely to be a victim of murder in the Eastern Cape
than
you are in Gauteng, even though there were more murders reported in Gauteng province.
That is astonishing. Yes, I thought maybe the Western Cape, because
that's number two.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we actually have a graphic which we'll tweet, and you can actually see a breakdown of all the nine provinces with the South African average, and you can see, you know, which province you live in and what the risk is that you face.
Wow. So there you go. Next time you want to throw that around, you know that it's not entirely accurate. We have a couple of questions and comments.
Mm.
One says from Katie, I think out of the earlier conversation, the first one about the levels of reading in South Africa, and Katie says, how many people are literate in SA?
Yeah, so this is something that we've looked into in the past, and we've actually looked into it in the context of a claim about Zimbabwe's literacy rate, because we always see people saying that Zimbabwe has the highest literacy rate on the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
But when we actually look at standardized and comparable data, it isn't tops. Don't tell your Zimbabwean friends that. They get very angry. In South Africa, the literacy rate is 93%.
Oh.
But according to UNESCO's Institute for Statistics, they estimated that 83.6% of Zimbabweans aged 15 and older were literate in 2011.
So is there like a top five or...
Yeah, there definitely is. I would need to check, but I think up at the top, we've got Equatorial Guinea, 94.2%, South Africa, 93%, Seychelles, 91.8%, Gabon, 89%, Mauritius, 88.8%.
Got it. And you said Zimbabwe's at 80?
That's 83.6%. But we'll also tweet that link. So if you want some ammunition for the next time you debate it, we've got the numbers for you.
To back it up. And then it's another one. I think this is a suggestion for future claim that South Africa has the best constitution in the world. And this person says, according to who or what organization?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And it's starting to verge on opinion more than fact, because best isn't a technical measure.
Yes.
But I often hear, you know, the claim it's the most progressive constitution. So there's maybe something to dig into there. But my experience tells me it might be a bit tricky to be able to draw a line and say yes or no.
But it's an interesting question. Because we love it. We say that all the time. You're teaching us new habits, you know, to not be as irresponsible with these claims as we say them, and to be mindful and ask ourselves really, really critical questions. We'll have one more session before the year is over.
We will.
But do send us your emails. Are there claims that you'd like Africa Check to dig in further? And maybe claims they haven't had an opportunity to look at, because they also rely on the public to alert them, to ask them to question or to prove the veracity of a particular claim. In the meantime, go to africacheck.org. Kate, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's 3:09 to 3:00. Here's Tara Penny with the latest.